Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a while, topping the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now, here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve. Cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of the podcast, Theanos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by a man who has all the hottest moves. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, what's going on, my dog?
I am doing well. I'm feeling good. I play this little game with myself every week, and that is, where is the introduction that Jordan has cooked up going? I think I know where it's going this week. I picked up.
So I don't know if you saw this, Eric, but the lineup for the 29th season of Dancing with the Stars was released today. Is that where you thought I was going?
Yeah, and there's one name that is sticking out, if I have this correctly.
There is. There's one standout name. So obviously Nelly is on there, and for people of my generation, he's huge, but he's not where I'm going with this.
So hot on her.
Exactly. That was an anthem of an entire generation. That would be Carol Baskin. Are you looking forward to seeing Carol's moves there, Eric?
I mean, unless she's going to like do a dance where she pantomimes killing a husband, I'm really not interested in it. I do not find Carol Baskin particularly appealing as a person. As a foil for a tiger-based docuseries, okay, kind of interested in Carol Baskin's. As a reality show dancer, you lost me.
So you don't think that she's a cool cat or kitten?
Hi there, cool cats and kittens. I'm Carol Baskin.
I feel like I shouldn't have to be the one to make this joke, but do you suspect that she's going to kill the competition?
Oh!
It feels like something you should have already said by now.
Yeah, I do pick low-hanging fruit. Enjoy that. She's going to wear all animal print.
I don't think she's capable of wearing anything else.
Yeah,
sure. So I was going back through it, and the past winners today because I have had nothing going on apparently. And it's amazing how many former gymnasts and figure skaters have won. How are they allowed to compete? They're practically professional dancers to start with. That's outrageous.
Yeah. That's like a complementary skill. It's a tangential professional dancer, essentially.
Yeah, it's also one of the biggest words that's ever been said on this here podcast. But let's go back to Carol a little bit. Did you see that Joe Exotic is coming out with his own line of underwear? It's called Revenge, as you'd imagine, for a man in jail. And obviously has his face on the crotch, right where you'd imagine it would be. Are you going to rush out and buy a pair? Or do you already have a pair?
Society is just falling apart at a rapid pace, isn't it? I mean, it's everything's disintegrating around us. And that is symptom example A. We've lost contact with our own humanity. Yeah. We're just falling apart.
Just animals. So is there anyone from the Tigers in particular that you'd like to see on Dancing with the Stars?
I mean, Prince Fielder, but he's not really around anymore. Wouldn't he be epic?
Yes, absolutely.
After the ESPN cover, like, just give him a thong and let him go out there and be a Dancing with the Stars.
I'd like to see Guardy on it. I feel like Guardy has old man moves. I could actually see
sneaky
him
be good,
halfway
yeah.
decent. Yeah,
for sure.
For sure. Don't want to see that though. If we're being completely honest.
Yeah. I mean, you want somebody who's kind of lithe and athletic to have those real dancer moves, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Does anybody fit that description on the Tigers? Just kind of
Willie Castro.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that. Yeah.
Sure. Definitely the earliest in the show Willie Castro has ever gotten to mention.
How about our new guy, Zach Short?
Yeah. We'll get on to
utility
Zach Short later.
Okay.
So before we get into contact info, I have a bit of a new announcement, and I don't know if I told you this, Eric. I tweeted it earlier today, but some people didn't see it. I, along with two of my best friends from college who actually have all coincidentally gone into podcasting as well, are launching a new podcast. If you out there like this show, the podcast Yanos, I'd imagine that you would probably like this other one. It'll definitely be in the same tone. I mean, we're not going to be talking about like super deep analytics, that's for sure. But it's just going to be sports talk, pop culture, current events, and sports gambling, all from the lens of like three dudes who are in their early 30s, who technically aren't kids anymore, but for sure aren't like real adults. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get it.
Like we would all give our wives the IKEA furniture to put together. So it's
the
from
theme
that
of this new podcast is broadly sports.
Yeah, exactly. It's broadly sports with other stuff thrown in. We're going to talk a lot of sports gambling because that's what's
yeah,
hot
that
in the
is
street now.
That's getting big now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see in even on Tigers broadcasts, the little FanDuel prompts and like the what do they call it? An offering or what do they call it when a casino or a sports book puts forth something for you to bid on?
Odds?
Yeah, I don't know. But it was 3.5 strikeouts for Michael Fulmer. And I'm watching this on TV and I'm like, I'd probably take the under on that. And then he strikes out three dudes in the first inning. And I'm like, probably good that I'm not betting.
Yeah, it's very difficult, the sports gambling. It's almost like they put it out there as a business venture because they know in the end they will make money.
They win either way, right? They're just processing these bets for the most part, right?
Sure.
I don't know.
If you say that.
I don't know betting too much.
So anyway, the show is called Fully Grown Men. The fully grown is in air quotes. It's simply not true. I have the link to it on my Twitter page, or you can just search Fully Grown Men on whatever platform you're listening to your pods. And just like with this show, if you could rate, review it, and subscribe, that would be really helpful to kind of getting us off the ground here in these early days.
There you go. Do that.
Yeah. So this show's contact information. If you want to get in touch with the show, I am at Jordan Hall 23. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain. And the show is at Podcastianos. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review this show as well. And if you do rate or review us, take a screenshot of it. Send us what you've written, and we'll read it out if it's funny and or interesting.
Because we are too lazy to check the reviews ourselves.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast Yanos.
So, Eric, sitting here on, what is this, the 2nd of September, we are now 3 games past the halfway point.
Mm-hmm,
we
mm-hmm.
went from losing 10 of 11 to having now won 8 of the last 10. And somehow, we're just half a game behind the Toronto Blue Jays for that final wild card spot. We're kind of living a roller coaster life here, aren't we?
Absolutely. We talked about this last time. So up and down. I will tell you, the up is significantly more fun than the down. This has been pleasurable to watch.
You say that, though, but I feel like even in the variation, there's fun. Like, I don't know. Like, obviously, when all you're doing is losing, a little bit of success feels good. But just having a little bit of ebbing and flowing in the season, I'm kind of digging it.
Yeah. Did this is a little off topic, but we're in Milwaukee now. Did I see you go to Milwaukee?
I did. Yeah, we were just there this past weekend. Lovely city, I will say. I had not heard much of anything about it, but it's actually a very pleasant city.
I was there maybe 10 years ago. It's been a long time.
It's probably changed since then.
Yeah.
Probably some new people.
I went for a wedding or whatever. So like we went out downtown to eat one time, but otherwise didn't see much. But looks like you sight saw.
Yeah, I mean we were there for pleasure. Big thing with Milwaukee though is you have to have a mask.
Isn't
on.
That everything that you do really, Hall?
Yeah, pretty much. For pleasure. I mean, that's the goal. But you have to wear a mask literally everywhere you go. I'm used okay, to right. Like I live in Indiana. People are still not entirely sure that COVID is real here. Like masks,
got it.
Who cares? So let's just say it was a bit of an adjustment for me. But lovely, lovely city. Would definitely go back.
I'm sorry. I totally got you off track there.
We
were talking about the Detroit Tigers down. What's next?
So 27 games left. How set are you on watching some playoff baseball?
Oh, I want to see it so bad. Wouldn't that be fun? Just even a series, because I'm still trying to catch up on how the postseason is structured. But from what I understand, if you are like the last wild card spot, you would play three games at, or the best of three at someplace else.
I'd be down with that. You'd be guaranteed.
Oh, that'd be so fun. Games.
It's been a long time since we've been in the playoffs. Analysis right there.
It would be so much fun. And three game series, who knows what happens?
Yeah.
It would be a lot of fun.
Especially you throw Turnbull, Casey Mize, and Tarek Skubal out there. I mean, that's a good three.
You hope you catch lightning in a bottle. It's like, playoff hockey, and you hope you have that hot goaltender, right?
Sure.
That's an analogy. You hope you get out some hot pitching, and away you go.
Yeah, I'm sure that is. So big blow to the playoff hopes, of course, came in the form of the injury to Jacoby Jones last night.
Oh, yeah.
Hit by a pitch late in the game by Phil Bickford. That's a man that I did not know existed until that event happened. At this point, I wish that I didn't know. Poor Jacoby.
Back-to-back dudes on the wrist, too. It kind of made me pissed off.
I think it's probably his command issues. I don't think he was aiming for wrists.
No, he certainly wasn't. But be better, Phil Bickford.
To be fair, Phil Bickford could be better. I think he would have been to the big leagues sooner and maybe had been more of an impact player than what he was.
Do you think so? Jacoby has been hit what twice in the jaw and broke his wrist last time and his hand this time. Is it just bad luck? Is that just a coincidence, or is he diving out over the plate or slow to recognize the inside ball? Is this just circumstance, or is there a pattern?
That's a good question. I feel like based on his style of play, my initial thought is just to say it's his gung-ho attitude.
Okay.
I don't have obviously anything to back that up. That just feels like a natural fit. I don't know. I haven't studied his plate approach enough to know, at least in terms of that. I've
right.
watched his plate approach as far as pitch selection many times.
But, yeah.
No,
but it sucks to be him though right now, right? I mean, that's just rough.
268, five home. Like he was in the midst of, I hate to say breakout season, because I think we kind of know what he is at this point.
And he had started to taper off a little bit there. His real hot streak had come to an end. So
let's go to the replacement scheme though, because obviously he was patrolling center field most nights.
Yep.
We obviously called up your boy Derek Hill. Willie Castro has spent some time, or will be spending some time in the outfield. Obviously we're going to have to change on a essentially nightly basis, but what is your preferred outfield alignment?
You know, for as much as I have dogged Derek Hill as being a player of limited capacity and skill set, for me right now, I think the answer is probably Derek Hill, because he can just be plugged in center field and he can catch the baseball. Like center field, you know, strong up the middle, don't they say?
They
defensively
do say that, yeah.
That's what you want. And if you're covering ground for Bonifacio or Kristen Stewart in left, you need to, those guys need some help. And Derek Hill can track the ball down and play amazing defense. He's not going to hit a ton, and he's not going to hit for a ton of power. But he's the kind of guy I think you could plug at the – stick him in the nine slot in the lineup. He's faster than lightning. He's the perfect – I should say perfect. He's kind of the typical nine hitter, all defense, fast kind of guy. And you just let him play defense, especially when you get to Comerica. There's so much ground to cover. That's my preferred thing. And then you rotate the guys in the left, and you hope you can find a bat there someplace. If it's Kristen Stewart, great. It's looking like it might not be. Maybe it's Bonifacio, but you could try either of the Castro brothers out there in left, and you find the bat that plays. And I think that's the outfield plan. I mean, you could take a prospect, you know, a guy like Zach Short, and try to trade him to the Cubs for an experienced guy like Cameron Maben to try to, you know, bolster your outfield. But that's probably not an option at this point.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I never thought I'd say this on Derek Hill. I kind of think, you know, I came into the season saying that I wanted to see what we had in guys like Candelario and Jacoby and some of the other guys, and Kristen Stewart as the third. We almost get a half a chance to see that in Derek Hill now if we run him out there most days. I mean, obviously it's not a complete sample. It'll be 27 games, but that'll be more run than he would have gotten pretty much at any point in a normal season. I mean, that should be halfway right. Decent as far as talent evaluation. And yeah, like you said, I would like to see more of Willy Castro. Defensively, he has some challenges. Is that a fair statement? It might be worth seeing what he can do in the outfield. And I've been on the Willy Castro train for a long time. I think the bat plays. I'd like to see Willy, Derek Hill, and Victor Reyes out there most days. I mean, it's. So here's the thing. I know all of you listeners at home are thinking, well, there's no pop there whatsoever, which is fair. But, I mean, do we really have any pop when Kristen Stewart's in the lineup? I mean, he's got, what, three runs on the year?
Right, right.
And all of those are
He's a large body. That does not power make. I mean,
honestly,
no.
Willie has – I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but Willie's probably slugging a higher slugging percentage than Kristen Stewart.
Yeah. So you mentioned seeing what you have. So I think with Kristen Stewart, maybe we're starting to see what we have. The other guy you had talked about at the beginning of this year was Candelario. Are we beginning to see what we have in Candelario, or is this just a hot streak? Because he is mashing.
That's the million-dollar question, right? Like that is something that everybody in that front office has to be wondering. I mean, the thing is he got off to such a terrible start and he figured it out. I think if nothing else, that tells me a little bit about his mindset. Like he was willing to kind of grind to get through those struggles that essentially dogged him for the last 2 years.
Yeah, he'd been relegated a couple times.
He's seemingly healthy, and maybe that's the big difference. But yeah, he is absolutely mashing the ball. 974 OPS over the last 30 days. Like I'm slow to buy in just because, you know, I feel like we've seen this show before a couple times, but I'm like 69% in on that. This is actually real Jamer Candelario. How about you?
69%.
Your take. Yeah,
exactly that number.
Exactly that number.
I don't know what it is about Candelario, but, maybe it's just the success he's had seems to reflect on his behavior and attitude and demeanor, but he looks like a totally different guy. He looks completely more confident. The success has probably brought the confidence. I know it's brought the confidence, but just his plate approach has been way more sound. I don't know. He looks legitimate right now. I mean, you look at the guy hitting. It's almost like with Victor Reyes too. You look at these guys hit, and you're like, "How were they ever bad?" Yeah. And when you watch them when they were bad, they're like, "How could these guys ever be good?" And it's so much between the ears. I think for both of those guys, it's plate approach or recognition. It's not the physical tools all the time. I don't think, you know, I'm an amateur analyst. I don't break down swings or know all this stuff, but just the savvy that they're demonstrating at the plate just seems so much better. And yeah, I know I'm self it's self-definition here at this point, but it's so much more fun to watch with those two guys, because we've seen episodes with both of them where they've just seemed lost.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to be the key thing for me, is inevitably at some point they're both going to start struggling again, and how, if they're able to pull themselves out of that, it'll tell us whether they're riding a hot, confident streak right now, or if there's actually something that they've figured out. Yeah, Victor Reyes, like, we've given him on this show a lot, and obviously we've given him a lot of crap, and I feel like
we've dogged him more than anybody, as much as anybody.
Yeah, Derek Hill is the only person in that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, we questioned his Rule 5 pick. I thought they should have taken Nick Birdie. I just wondered about this. I have to give Mr. Chris Iatt a shout out, because he has reminded me that he felt that, of course, you should take a toolsy outfielder over a potential relief pitcher in the Rule 5 draft. And he thought I was stupid. And you know what? He was right.
Yeah.
He was right. The whole Reyes thing, I was wrong about.
I think that the knock has always been, yeah, the average is decent, but it's completely empty. He's, what, third on the team in total bases? He's slugging .482. Like, these are actual real outfielder numbers, not just an empty .306 or whatever he's put up over the last couple of years. So here's the thing. Like, I want to go back to just the concept of Rule 5. He genuinely has to be one of the best Rule 5 picks ever at this point, right?
Well, the threshold is so low.
So low. People keep... And I think both of us have fallen prey to this over the past couple of years, too, is we think that it's all about, you know, upside, trying to find a guy that has all these tools that you can mold. And to a certain extent, that is the same for Victor Reyes. But I think trying to aim a little bit lower, find somebody that you actually can stick with through the entire year, let them develop. I think that... that is the right approach. And obviously since then we've done nothing but take hard throwing right-handed relievers in the Rule 5 draft. So clearly we didn't necessarily learn that lesson, but yeah, finding somebody that has staying power, I think, is way more important in Rule 5 than somebody that can touch 100. But anyway,
well, and it's the ability to plug your nose a little bit for that first year while he's on the big league club, because almost by definition, the Rule 5 guy is going to be overmatched.
Yeah.
I mean, you just got to hold your nose. If your team's bad, keep them on the roster, and you don't listen to podcasts like ours, and it'll be fine.
You at least download them, if not actually listen. So let's move on to our uber active trade deadline. The one big deal, we traded Cameron Maben for the third time, this time to the Cubs for one Zach Short. So he actually spent a lot of time with the South Bend Cubs, and as many of you know, I live in South Bend.
I was going to say, had you seen him or know of him?
No, I mean, I just got here.
He was too early. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I asked some of my sources around town, and basically they referred to him as a less talented David Eckstein, which is not a great comparison.
Eckstein's pretty good.
Yes, but he didn't have really any natural talent. He was all grinder, which, I mean, you could do worse, but yeah. The one thing about him he has an exceptional walk rate, which that makes one. So, you know, we got that.
There you go. My breakdown of this was I might think differently now since Jacoby's hurt, but basically what is the drop off between Cameron Maben and a guy like Jorge Bonifacio or Travis DeMeritt? It was not
absolutely
that much.
No.
It was not that much, you know, and maybe it was kind of coming off the being hurt. And it was kind of like, if we're now getting basically a month of Cameron, we're sacrificing a month of Cameron Maben for what they're saying is MLB ready, cost controlled and years controlled piece that gives you a lot of flexibility. To me, it was a no-brainer to do this, and I think it was a smart trade.
Oh, absolutely. I think we could be looking at maybe Andrew Romine, which, you know, we could certainly do worse. Andrew Romine played fairly regularly for us
for sure.
Several years. I want to go back to some things that you tweeted over the course of deadline day. You talked about I think actual intelligence from you. So I think you can lean into this one about how you were actually okay with us not trading guys like Jonathan Scope or Jose Cisnero for minimal or low impact prospects. Conventional wisdom says we're not going to compete this year. Get anything you can for them. You kind of took the other path. Talk us through that.
Well, yeah, basically the price on those guys is not going to be especially high. You're not getting blue chip prospects in return for 1 month rentals. Yeah, maybe you get the Zach Shorts, but I mean, if you can't get back a significant piece, just keep those guys. I mean, let's have a little fun with what we have right now. When else, I mean, could you imagine being in the running in September? Now's the time to make a run for it. Yeah, it's a goofy season. I get that. But why not keep some of your pieces now during goofy season instead of when you're 20, 25 games back? Yeah. Like, now's the time to keep those pieces and let's have a little bit of fun with it. Let people enjoy something.
Yeah.
Don't just wholesale off all your pieces. Now, I kind of made the exception with Maben because I didn't think the drop off was that big. But if you sell a guy like Romine or Scope, the drop off there is significant. Those two guys are enormous hole fillers for our club right now. And it would stink to see those guys go for, you know, some 2-bit minor leaguer.
Yeah. Troy Montgomery, someone like that. Victor Alcantara. So. But yeah, no, like you say, it is a silly season, but we're going to enjoy a, you know, exciting last 10 games trying to claim the last wild card spot in a silly season, just like we would in a regular season. Like it's going to be the same excitement level. Like we can, yeah, I completely
agree. The games
agree
are
with you.
Meaningful now. I mean, who knows next year if we're going to have any meaningful games beyond, you know,
June,
right?
Speaking of meaningless, let's move on to the imminent return of Jordan Zimmermann and Ivan Nova. Nova is now long tossing and is expected to return this season. Jordan Zimmermann has moved on to live batting practice. These two guys are coming back, so the cavalry is just out there in the distance. How do we use these two big arms? How do we maximize their value once they're back in the old English D?
Oh, I see these update reports and I'm like, how about no? I don't want them. Can you imagine these guys coming back from injury and replacing Mize and Scooble?
People will go bonkers.
People would lose it.
How many times in the last 60 days have you thought of Jordan Zimmermann?
None.
Literally none. Zero. He has completely disappeared from my consciousness.
Yeah, because he keeps coming back and you're like, no, maybe just stay down.
Just
it's okay.
Stay in Minnesota ice fishing. Just yeah. Don't do that.
Now, if if he's pitching and doing okay, to bring him as one of these, you know, two inning guys who might give you something, we've kind of cobbled together these three inning clusters. If you think either Nova or Zimmermann can be one of these three inning guys to piggyback.
The problem there is Nova, yes, maybe. Zimmermann, we know he can't. Like, he has given us ample examples of not being able to do that.
I'm far more hopeful about Nova than I am Zimmermann.
And I'm not hopeful at all about Nova, but yeah. No, I mean, it is what it is.
Would you rather have Nova than, like, say, Funkhauser right now or Bo Burrows right now? I probably would.
Probably would, but that is more of a reflection on those two than it is on Ivan Nova. But that's neither here nor there.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Eric, let's move to your power rankings.
Power rankings. I did actual research for power rankings tonight. I tweeted out a couple pictures.
That seems hard to believe.
Worked hard at this. I don't know if you know it, but school is a thing now for some of the youngsters. Yeah. So going back to school, some of them are staying home from school. In any case, we're trying to learn, kids. And in order to learn, you need fuel. You need brain fuel. And the brain fuel of choice in the packed lunch is snack cakes. Yes, I'm talking about Little Debbie or Hostess style snack cakes. That you just, this little bundle of carbohydrates that you can just drop into a kid's lunch. Individually wrapped, you don't got to work at it. You put one in and they can enjoy it for their lunch. So I have for you the top seven and bottom three Little Debbie Hostess style snack cakes.
Nice. This is a good topic. I'm actually surprised we've made it to 100 and some and this hasn't come up.
Okay. This might arouse the passions of the populace. Let's go.
Better right. The passions than other things. I'd be real concerned.
We got to be careful arousing the passions. Right. Number seven from the top is zebra cakes. So this is like a sponge cake with white frosting in the middle, wrapped in kind of like a white fudgy kind of frosting. And the outer frosting, it has a particular mouthfeel. Like it feels a little bit like Crisco and I don't know, Vaseline. God, it's just very kind of weird. But I like it. They're tasty. I have a conspiracy theory though.
Really?
I think the zebra cakes, the butterfly cakes, the red and white blue cakes, and to a lesser extent, like the Christmas tree cakes, are all the same thing.
I don't even think that's a conspiracy theory. I think that just is what it is. Like, are they trying to hide that?
No, well, they're boxing them different. But I think it's all the same thing. Okay, number six. This is something I tried for the first time tonight because I saw it mentioned a couple times and I had never had one.
For research.
And this is research. I ate a snowball. This is a Hostess snowball. It is spherical in shape, like the name suggests. And it is orange, but it's got like coconut shavings on the outside of a marshmallow encapsulating outer shell. And then there's chocolate cake in the middle.
That doesn't sound
I was
great.
Not prepared for the chocolate, but it was good. I like coconut a lot, and the marshmallow and coconut worked well together.
Sounds like too much.
And I found
sweets.
It interesting. Oh, you just wait. We're this is all kind of sweet stuff, Jordan. So that was a snowball, and it was pretty good. I like that. Okay, number five, and this one is going to be controversial, but is the pecan spin wheel?
Oh, that sounds terrible.
It's an old man snack for sure. It's got nuts in it.
It makes sense though
but
for you.
It tastes it's the texture is very nice. It's got a nice spin wheel pattern. It's like a cinnamon roll. It was a pretty good for a prepackaged shelf stable treat. It was a good approximation of a cinnamon roll and I kind of liked it.
All right.
It's number five.
So question, how many of these have you eaten today?
One, two, three, four, five. Six.
How are you not
seven,
just
eight.
Buzzing out of
not,
your mind?
No,
that is outrageous. Right. It's exactly what somebody who ate the whole thing would say.
I shared. And then I took it off their plates again.
That's right.
So too much. I mean, basically, I have early onset diabetes.
I was going to say, do you know where you're getting your diabetes testing supplies from?
Now that Wilford's gone, I don't know.
May he RIP.
RIP, Will. Okay, number four is the Star Crunch.
Oh,
Star Crunch is really good. They're kind of a disc in shape. They're got crispy and chocolatey and caramel. And the texture is very good. A good caramel flavor. Star crunches are pleasant to eat.
Yeah.
That's number four.
I sign off on that one.
Number three is the oatmeal cream pie. This is the only thing on the list that approximates health because it's got oats in it. But the
lowers
texture,
cholesterol.
Yeah, that's a heart healthy food. I love oatmeal cream pies. The filling part is really good, and the texture of the oatmeal outer encasement is just it's right to me. I like the oatmeal cream pie. It's number three. Number two, we're getting to the upper echelon here. Number two is the Swiss cake roll. The Swiss cake roll is more than a food. It is an experience, Hall.
Okay, this I have to hear.
It comes in a twin pack. You can eat them a number of ways. You pull them apart. You can either unroll them like my wife does, which is a little strange, or you could just chomp them off the end. But then once you're done eating the cake roll, there's always the chocolate outer casement stuck to the cardboard.
You eat that?
Oh, for sure.
That's
you
just,
scrape.
No, that's just like excess. That's
good stewardship.
No.
No, you scraped it off with your finger off the cardboard and you eat it.
No. That's literal trash.
I love Swiss cake rolls. They're the consistency is right. There's a lot going on. There's the thin outer frosting layer, the spongy cake, and the middle, and it's all layered. It's they're quite good.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Number one, you got a guess?
The only correct answer is Nutter Bars. So, Nutty Bars? Is that
Nutty
the one?
Nutty Buddies.
There you go.
Is the Little Debbie version. Nutty Buddies are delicious. It's got that satisfying crunch and texture. And I got to tell you, for a packaged food, it has a fairly complex peanut butter flavor. This is kind of smoky, salty. It's fairly interesting and complex. The Nutty Buddy is the best one. It's got that crispy, you know, it's got a lot going on. It's a good snack.
The only drawback to those is your fingers will inevitably be filthy by the time you're done, which I can't stand.
For a lot of these, they are just like greasy, sugary. Yeah. Balls.
It's an immediate hand wash after on most of these.
Yeah, these things are completely artificial. They're made with science. That's all that's in them. Okay. Third, the three worst. Here we go. I had one of these tonight or a sampling, and that is the fruit pie.
Ooh.
Is the third from the worst. So there it comes in like apple or cherry. I had these as a child, and let me tell you. It took me like right back. Like, oh yeah, they haven't changed. They might actually be from the 80s when I got them. They might be the same ones. But the crust just takes like, you know, just like shelf stability. I mean, it could last forever.
Ugh, that sounds horrific.
And the tech, it's kind of it's a weird lardy, creamy texture around the fruit pie. They're not awful, but I'm not getting one on purpose.
You're not describing these real well.
Second from the worst, and I had one of these for the first time tonight, and I did not like it. And that is the chocolate chip cream pie. So basically an oatmeal cream pie, but with an approximation of a chocolate chip cookie. But it's not a chocolate chip cookie. It's like it's just a mess. And it fails mostly because it's not an oatmeal cream pie, which is really what I want.
Yeah, it's like, why mess with a classic?
Right. All right, the number one worst snack cake Little Debbie style treat. Do you have a guess?
Honestly, I can't even think of any more, so no.
It is the sleeve of little donuts. There's the nutty ones or the powdery ones. They always look crammed in there, like they've been squashed. And the texture of these is never pleasant. Like, it's kind of pasty and mealy for the little donut. And I mean, these are not fresh. This is not a fresh donut product. This is a sleeve of the Donettes or whatever. And it's the worst. Don't get these. That's Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
I'm really glad that you put yourself through that to bring us the information.
My guts. I needed some coffee just like to break through the sugar barrier.
You can be. So nothing on the side of the road while running this week, but I did come up with a bit of a new segment. It's called Adventures in Indiana. Now I live in Indiana, so I figured I would share some of the more Indiana-y things that happened to me. Is that fair?
I'd like that. Thank you.
So this one actually, I guess you could say it borders on things I saw on the side of the road while running. So I can now run, I just figured out that I can run actually to our zoo here in South Bend and back to my house within the confines of one run. So I'm running.
Wow. I'm assuming you have an annual membership to said zoo.
Yes, I do. That happened almost immediately. But, you know, you can go along the side of the zoo. You can actually see, like, rhinos and zebras and lemurs and the black colobus monkeys. Anyway, that's not the point of the story, but I can do that. So I'm running back from the zoo, and I see this epicenter of bags. It's almost like a bunch of teens had just gone to Arby's, which was nearby, admittedly, and just dumped all their trash right there. But as I continue to run back towards my house, I see a little trail of horsey sauces every, like, I don't know, 2/10 of a mile. So clearly they hadn't finished their meal. They just dumped the bags and were eating their Arby's sandwiches.
So, like, this isn't an obese American Hansel and Gretel? You don't think this is teenagers?
I mean, I didn't follow the trail of horsey sauces. I'm assuming at some point it turned. But
okay.
And the only other bit that I have is one of our neighbors.
Wait. I need the resolution to the bag story. So the bags are strewn and then there's a trail of horsey sauces. What was at the end of the trail?
Eventually, I'm assuming the trail veered off different from where I was running. There is no resolution to the story. There was just a trail of horsey sauces.
Oh, I thought like you followed it and, you know, encountered some monster or something.
I mean, what is an Indiana monster look like? Just a big corn stalk or something?
Like the Hoosier or whatever that is.
What is that?
I have no idea.
It's a strange state.
Story two.
Moving on to the second story. Our neighbor in South Bend, great guy. See him out walking his dog all the time. A couple weekends ago, he brings over a bag of tomatoes. My wife and her parents are out in the front yard working. And he brings them the bag of tomatoes and says, you know, I've grown too many tomatoes. Like, this is here.
This is the time. Everybody's got tomatoes. Yes.
And he's like, how quickly will you go through the tomatoes? I'll bring you some more. And my wife's like, well, this is a ginormous bag of tomatoes. I'm probably not going to go through anymore. So I come home from work 2 days later, and there's another ginormous bag of tomatoes on our front porch. And then needless to say, that happened again a third time. So if you are in need of tomatoes, hit your boy up. I have some. The whole house smells like tomatoes, if we're being completely honest.
See, this is the paradox of tomatoes. You cannot get a good tomato in a grocery store to save your life. And you'd pay almost anything for that real good homegrown tomato in February. And then you get to late August and you cannot possibly use all the fresh, delicious tomatoes that you have. It's madness.
I don't even really like tomatoes.
It's tragedy. Well, probably explains why you're not going through them very fast. You don't like tomatoes? Well, tomatoes are a grown-up food.
Are
so
they?
That
yeah,
sense.
I guess. Yeah. They are. Not a big tomato guy. All right, do the Twitter questions.
Oh my gosh, Twitter questions. I prepared these like thoroughly last week, and this week I didn't, so I'm just now using my phone like a dope. Okay, Jennifer Cozy, our gal Jen, says, between the Maven trade and the Jones injury, do you feel it is time to sign Austin Jackson? Joke here is Jennifer Cozy loves Austin Jackson.
Can't believe he's still sitting out there. He could patrol center field for us right now.
He'd be better. His decroded corpse would be better out there than Stewart's.
I don't think he's dead. I think his corpse
but if he
has
was,
muscles
still
and
be...
whatnot.
Yeah. Okay. Just saying. Robert Baker asks, given that the Tigers are already doing shorter starts and have a solid bullpen, do you see this playing style benefiting them if they make the postseason? Or, come on, Robert. When they make the postseason, please.
Have some optimism.
And then would it be beneficial in a bubble-type scenario? I don't know. What do you make of this in general? Does it help them that they have these kind of, like, not starters, but almost like these piggyback chunk guys?
I don't know that it necessarily helps or hurts. Like, this is the best formation for our pitchers. But if you had a guy that could give you consistently seven good innings, that's good too.
Yeah. If Fulmer and Norris could each get us through seven, that would be great. Yeah. But right now they can't. They each gave us like three, and we won that game last night. Like,
exactly. That's modern baseball, and that's finally using our weapons how they should be deployed. Like, that's, I'm all in favor of that. I don't necessarily think that particular style is the best. It's just the best for us, if that makes sense.
We're making do with what ingredients we have.
Exactly. Right. The cake hopefully turns out the same quality as a cake that's all of, you know, all one pitcher throwing seven. Right. But and
now,
I don't think a bubble is going to happen. So I don't know that that's.
Does it help you in the postseason? No, having a stud pitcher to pitch eight would be ideal, but.
Oh, you mean like Casey Mize?
He's shown flashes of brilliance and shown flashes like this is his first and second start.
which they have been. He'll get there.
High school Tim in the North asks, if you could take one Tiger outfielder from your lifetime and plug him into Jacoby Jones' spot, who would it be and why? Well, I guess I have more options than you do, Hall.
You sure do. Many more.
Who are you taking?
I mean, I feel like...
Is Al Kaline in our lifetime? He was alive?
I mean, he was alive. He didn't play in our lifetime. I mean, if we're talking pure center fielders, I think Granderson is the easy choice. Add some thump at the top of the lineup. I might be more tempted to have somebody like a power hitting corner outfielder. Like,
yeah, I would take Maglio
or Juan Gon for that 1 year. I mean, regardless, we could use some thump from one of our outfielders.
I think Maglio would be the choice for me.
Or Simo.
Nope.
Moving Simo onto the field would take him away from his current position. So
that's maybe I could be talked into that. Ryan Rayburn would be great. Okay.
I feel like you're dogging my boy. I'm not happy about that.
Who?
Rayburn.
No, I love Rayburn is underrated, mostly because everybody rates him as garbage. Yes.
If all he had to do was hit left-handed pitching, he would have been one of the greatest players of all time. Unfortunately, most pitchers are right-handed.
If Ryan Rayburn could have gotten out of Ryan Rayburn's way, Ryan Rayburn would have been a fine player.
Yes, that. Yeah.
Who gets the AL wildcard spots? I didn't look at this. Who do we have? Let's see. The Blue Jays have the first wildcard spot.
Right now, I believe the Blue Jays and the Twins are currently occupying the spaces.
Right. Who's behind us that's really going to jump up and challenge? Anybody?
I don't know. I feel like that's research we could have done before the show. I don't necessarily know off the top of my head. Let me pull it up. I'll edit this out.
Okay.
I'm completely kidding. I'm definitely not going to.
I'll skip ahead and then we'll go back.
Oh, here we go.
John?
I got it up. We're good to go. The Orioles are behind us, so not fearing that too much. Mariners, mm-hmm. Royals. There's nobody behind us. It's just a matter of whether we can catch the Blue Jays or the Twins. Which
I think we could.
Half game behind the Blue Jays. Yeah.
It's ours for the taking.
That's right.
Otherwise, everybody else. We'll replace the Blue Jays. Everybody else is as is. That's my answer.
Seems fair.
Okay. Raj Castillo asks, are you ordering a Victor Reyes jersey? And if so, home or away?
Always home.
Always home.
I've never had an issue with him. Like, I think he's kind of cool. He seems like a good dude.
Yeah.
I'm starting to buy the baseball aspect of him a little bit. So I'd order a jersey from China that cost me like $22. I'm definitely not buying one from the D shop though.
Don't let the Tigers hear about that. they're not going to put hologram stickers on that China stuff.
I'm comfortable with a jersey without a hologram sticker.
I kind of just want a Funkhauser jersey just because his name is Funkhauser, which is pretty
cool. It's going to be a piece of memorabilia because I don't foresee his stint with the Tigers lasting real long.
I got to tell you, my biggest regret ever was at the D shop and they had a Matt Tuiasosopo jersey for like $10. And it was on the rack in my size. And I'm like, I already have three or four of these. I don't need another one. And I kick myself every day that I don't have a Matt Tuiasosopo jersey.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
That would have been a good one.
Could have put that in rotation with Quentin Berry.
Yeah, I got the only jersey I have is Quentin Berry. My jerseys are Coke, Gary Sheffield, Don Kelly, and did I say Coke? I guess those are just the ones I have.
Those are three very different people.
Yeah. It's what is that? Dissociative disorder or whatever I have. You know, it depends on my mood, who I wear.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
I think Blaine's the only jersey I have.
That's a nice one. John Fine asks, so is Avila in the running for executive of the year?
No.
How about if Gardenhire makes the playoffs and wins a playoff series? I mean, is he manager of the year?
I guess.
He's been good.
I feel like I have a hard time attributing any like plaudits to him.
Because you feel like he doesn't do much.
He is the manager of this team that's overachieving. Like I don't know what to do with that. So
that's how you become manager of the year. You have a lousy team and you get okay.
He has a big personality. The writers would probably vote for him. Yeah, he may very well do
sure
it.
Sure enough. So Pizza Slayer, JSlaw 0809, says, recently I was told that Dan Petrie bears a striking resemblance to my dad. Now, every time I watch the post-game show, I feel like my dad is lecturing me on how to pitch properly. Any current or former Tigers look like any close family members? And then Mitch from Michigan says, funny, my uncle also has a striking resemblance to Dan Petrie. And I think they're onto something. Dan Petrie just kind of looks like everybody's uncle.
Honestly, he kind of looks very like my unkly. Grandpa. Yeah, like he's
very unkly.
Yeah, definitely.
You could be another nationality or ethnicity, and it's just that ethnicity's version of Dan Petrie. He's just very uncle-y.
Yeah. I guess I don't really have any other exact lookalikes. Do you?
No. I don't think so. None of them are. They're all professional athletes or ex-athletes. They're not chubby enough for my family. So, sorry. They're all too fit.
Digging out your entire family.
Yeah, it's not good. Favorite defunct restaurant not named Googs or Rock Island. So this is some local humor. I'm going to skip over a lot of this, but feel free to tweet me about local restaurants in West Michigan that are now defunct. I'm happy to tweet you about that.
What's the place that has the I want to say there's like a hat on a burger? Is that something?
Hat. Oh, Mr. Burger.
Yeah, Mr. Burger.
Yeah, you commented on this last time you were in the area.
He's just such a civilized gentleman for a burger.
Yeah, it's a bow tie and top hat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Burger is good, affordable food. Don't dare diss Mr. Burger.
I've never been. I wouldn't dare diss Mr. Burger. He seems like a good chap.
That's right. You put some respect on his name. Heavy on the mister. Okay, H. Bullpen asks, will the Tigers win a World Series in the next 5 years?
No. I mean, I would love to say yes, but I think the odds would lean towards maybe not.
How many teams are ahead of us if you had to make predictions?
I think
about...
it'd be easier to count how many teams are behind us. And I don't mean to say that as a pessimist. I genuinely think that that is.
Oh, there's a lot of teams ahead of us.
There's four teams ahead of us in our own division. How about that?
How good do the White Sox look? We talked about this last time. I mean, if you had asked me that about the White Sox, I'd probably say yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I don't think there's any way they get through the next 5 years without one.
They look pretty good.
I think I could manage them too. Yeah.
Okay. Michael Litzner asks, are you guys fans of the powder blue unis teams like Twins, Jays, Phillies occasionally wear?
Yes, absolutely. I love it. It's a hot look for sure.
For me, some teams wear it better than others. I think the Blue Jays, it looks especially good.
Yeah, definitely. I love all the new Brewer stuff. And by new, I mean some of the old stuff that they're bringing back in addition to all of their new stuff. Yeah. Right. It wouldn't take much for me to become a Brewers fan, if we're being completely honest.
There, I think I did a power rankings one time of teams that if I would cheer for if I wasn't a Tigers fan. And in Brewers, I think we're number one.
All right. We're on the same page.
I could see getting into the Brewers. Jacob Skoronek asks, Amazon recently released All or Nothing, Tottenham Hotspur, a docuseries following this past season. If Amazon were to make an All or Nothing around the Tigers, what would you most want to see? Which characters would you be most interesting to you?
So I haven't watched any of the Spurs All or Nothing yet. I inevitably will at some point. Very much looking forward to that because it's the season that Poch left and Jose Mourinho came in, which obviously is just straight box office. But let's get towards the Tigers. Honestly, it sounds like a horrifically boring documentary. Like I think Daniel Norris would probably be the standout character.
Yeah.
But other than that, like what has happened in the last 12 months?
But this is like an inner look. You know, you get inside people's lives. It's like, these docuseries are like a real intimate picture. I would want that for Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, I think that's the big one.
Like, he is a rich man. He's got these, his personal life, shall we say, has been...
Complicated,
intriguing. Like, we're baseball fans. We're not celebrity gossip guys. But that would be kind of fascinating to see his rumored indiscretions or, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
Piccadillos, if you will. I think that would be interesting. I think there'd be a lot of behind the scenes stuff that probably doesn't come to light, but, you know. Especially in non-COVID times, guys going out and doing stuff or hooking up with who or what or where and when. I think it could be fascinating.
I mean, I'd watch it. Don't get me wrong. But I struggle to say that I think that it would be fascinating. I think it would
I guess the social side of it would be fun for me. I mean, if it was like a Hard Knock style thing, would you be into it?
No, I would actually far more appreciate the social bit, which I haven't watched any. I didn't watch the Man City All or Nothing, so I don't know exactly like how personal because obviously I couldn't bring myself to watch that crap.
I watched when the Buccaneers, which is my favorite NFL team, had the HBO Hard Knocks thing. I watched every episode of that just because it was interesting to me. It was kind of fascinating.
How did that happen? Mike Allstott? Is that the reason?
Well, we vacationed down in Florida, and the Lions were just so distasteful to me. They lost year after year. And then there was one season where because the only thing you could watch on TV was the Lions game because it was local TV, and the Buccaneers beat them twice. And they just had gotten Mike Allstott. And I'm like, yeah, this is more fun. Like they weren't the best team in the world, but I'm like, they beat the Lions twice and they're kind of fun to watch. They had gotten Allstott and then Warwick done. And I was like, yeah, I'm in. So I became a big Bucks fan, and whenever in Tampa, we would, you know, look at the merch and all that kind of stuff. But then in 2002, they won the World Series. The Super Bowl. But I'd followed them years before that, too. I still have a lot of Bucks swag, and I still follow them a little bit. They're my favorite NFL team.
Nice. I had no idea. I would never have guessed that.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for my, all right, I'm going to be a fan of this NFL team moment. Maybe in the next 30 years, I'll get one.
Yeah, well, just parting ways from the Lions, this is going to seem like sacrilege, but I was never like a huge Lions fan to start with. But then being outside of Lions culture, it's so refreshing, and it gives you a new perspective on Lions fandom that is like, okay, people, you just need to relax a little bit. Now, people probably think that about Tigers fans like us too, but Lions fans are a little bit of a special breed.
Gluttons for punishment.
Sorry, Lions. I know there's probably, I'm sure like all Lions fans.
I was going to say, probably a fairly huge crossover between who listens to us and who also likes the Lions.
I don't dislike the Lions. It's just been a lot easier for my life not to be a fan of them.
You don't dislike the Lions. You just hate all their fans. I mean, that's...
Fine. Whatever. Whatever you say.
Okay.
That's it. That's it for Twitter questions. We're not getting into defunct West Michigan restaurants. Although Googs had a ginormous burger challenge, and Googs has gone out of business, which is sad. It's one of my favorite restaurants. Highland. I used to work right there. Googs is gone. R.I.P. Googs.
R.I.P. Googs. With that being said, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain. And the show is at Podcastianos. And leave us a review or a rating wherever you're listening to the show on. Eric, anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for another week?
You know, eating even portions of 8 different Little Debbie snack cakes is not a good idea. Like, don't do that to your intestines. I'm kind of feeling a little gut rot.
I'd like to think that none of our listeners needed to be told that, but it's reassuring to have you say it again.
I'm looking out for you and your health. Okay? Just All have right. some broccoli or something. You'll be better.
With that being said, we will catch you guys next week and eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.